In Deuteronomy chapter 15, turn your Bibles there, mark it, and we're going to go two other places first, okay? We have, while you're turning to Deuteronomy 15, already looked at, back up a couple of pages because I just want to give you the outline again. We talked about the main purpose in worshiping God is to please and glorify Him. And in chapter 14, verse 1 through chapter 16, verse 17, Moses further explains Israel's worship and the kind of people that they were to be. And we, of course, can learn from that because it's the kind of people we should be as well, those who belong to the true and living God. We saw, number one, they are to be, and we are to be, holy people. And I won't even give the subpoints on that. And then secondly, we are to be a generous people. Holy people, chapter 14, 1 through 21. A generous people, chapter 14, 22 through 29. And this morning, let's look at number 3, a trusting people. Chapter 15, verses 1 through 18. A trusting people. All right, so we're going to be talking about the sabbatical year. We're going to make some references to the year of Jubilee, which happened to be the subject matter on Wednesday night in our study of Isaiah, the year of Jubilee. So they kind of overlap. That's kind of cool. But we're going to begin. Mark your place in Deuteronomy 15 and turn over to Exodus 23 because we want to read. Remember, Moses did not go into every single detail concerning the things that we're going to be looking at. Because when Moses gave the information here in Deuteronomy, he was preparing the people to go into the promised land, which was going to happen very shortly after. So he was more concerned with relationship. And in when he wrote Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, when they were penned, Leviticus has a lot of detail. It's more about the law, the facts of the law, the details of the law. Here, the information he gives is more geared toward their relationship with God and how it would impact that either positively or negatively. So in Exodus chapter 23, verses 10 and 11. 6 years thou shalt sow thy land and shalt gather in the fruits thereof, but the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive yard. And then he goes on in verse 12, talking about 6 days thou shalt do that work, the seventh day thou shalt rest, which was a pattern instituted in the very beginning, the seventh day of rest. But here what we see, of course, is the Sabbath year. Unfortunately, Israel neglected it, didn't they? And Judah neglected it. And part of the reason why they went into Babylonian captivity, was because, and why it was 70 years. That wasn't an accident that it was a 70-year captivity. It was because they had neglected the Sabbath rest for all of those years. And so God got them back, got the years back, by having them in, the land rested for 70 years, didn't it? Because they were in Babylon. All right, so that's, and then if you turn to Leviticus chapter 25, Leviticus chapter 25, verses 1 through 7. Anybody want to read those for me? 25, 1 through 7. All right, George, go ahead.
And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give you, then the land shall keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee, and for thy servant, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee. And for thy cattle, and for the beasts that are in the land, shall all the increase thereof be meat.
All right. And of course, meat there is food. All right. Now turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 15. So every seventh year was a Sabbath year. No cultivating the land. It was to rest. And then after seven sevens, which is 49 years, on the 50th year, that was the year of Jubilee. Subject matter here in chapter 15 of Deuteronomy is not the year of Jubilee, but it is the year of rest, and that's significant. We're talking here about the year of rest, the seventh year. It would also rest, by the way, on the year of Jubilee, the 50th year, so for that particular time, there were 2 years where the land rested. All right, in the first 11 verses, let's look first at the poor debtor. Again, remember, Moses here is concerned about relationships, treating the poor. How do you treat the poor? How do you take care of your brother? I'm talking about Jewish brothers, Jews taking care of Jews, and some of the regulations involved in that. And again, the detail is not as much as what we read in Exodus and in Leviticus, because the point here is again how people are to treat people more than it is the details. All right, so someone read if you would 1 through 11, 1 through 11, going once, going twice. All right, Becca, do your thing.
At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Of a foreigner thou mayest exact it again, but that which is thine with thy brother thine hand shall release. Save when there shall be no poor among you, for the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee this day. For the Lord thy God blesseth thee, as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow, and thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land which the Lord thy God hath giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor and to thy needy in thy land.
All right, thank you. Okay, so again, every seventh year was a Sabbath year. Now here's the question, and it depends on the commentator or commentary that you look at. It's probably split 50-50 whether every seventh year the debt was totally canceled or whether the interest was canceled and the debt was carried for another year. In other words, if people planted crops and vineyards or if they could not plant for a year, they didn't have any income, did they? How are they going to pay their debt? They have no income. So the debt was delayed. The collection of the debt was delayed through that year. The reason why there is this confusion is the Hebrew word for release can either mean cancellation or it can mean delay, like a carryover. So think of it, this is the way I was thinking of it, and you know, you have to make up your own mind between you and the Lord. If a debt was canceled every 7 years, totally wiped out, well, you still would have a 7-year period before the year of Jubilee, but it certainly wouldn't be as profound. The year of Jubilee wouldn't be as profound. The whole idea why God did this was basically twofold. Like the year of Jubilee, why did God allow these debts to be canceled in the year of Jubilee, the 50th year? It kept the economy straight, and it also kept the rich from oppressing the poor, and it kept the poor from taking advantage of the rich as well. So you have to make up your mind whether every seventh year the debt was totally wiped out or whether the interest was wiped out. Warren Wiersbe is in the camp of just the interest was wiped out. John MacArthur's in the camp, no, the whole debt was wiped out. And I've got some other commentators. One is Craigie, who did a new international commentary of the Old Testament. It was a series back years ago. And he also says, no, it wasn't the whole debt, it was the interest. So you make up your own mind. It really doesn't matter, does it? It's not going to affect our faith or our lives in any way. But let's read on and look over these and make some comments. All right, so in verse number 2, this is the manner of the release. This is how it goes down. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. And again, is that a release of the interest? Is that a release of the entire debt? He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Of a foreigner, someone that's in the country but not a citizen, not a part, maybe they're in the country for a brief period of time, maybe they're there to do business, thou mayest exact it again. As far as interest, you might say, well, wait a minute, weren't Jews not supposed to charge interest to their brothers? Well, when you really study the term, it's exuberant interest, usury, overcharging interest. Not that they could not charge interest. See the difference? So here, again, it's either a cancellation of the interest or cancellation of the whole debt. But a foreigner, it didn't matter. They had to pay it, whether it was the whole debt or whether it was interest. The cancellation was only for permanent dwellers. Then in verse number 4, save when there shall be no poor. Another translation has it, to the end that there be no poor. If the Jews would have done all that God instructs, both here and in previous books, regarding the poor, regarding the cancellation of interest or debts or both or whatever, we know on the year of Jubilee it was cancellation of the whole nine yards for sure, there would have been no poor in Israel. Imagine that. You say, well, wait a minute, how's that possible? Because God said, if you do what I say, I will bless the land. And he meant so bless it that there would be nobody left out. Can you imagine that? Now, if you look ahead to verse number 11, for the poor shall never cease out of the land. See that? There you go, preacher. There's a contradiction. I told you there's contradictions in the Bible. No, it's not a contradiction. it's a statement against Israel that they did not or they would not obey what God had told them. So therefore, there would be poor. Jesus, remember, he said the same thing. There will always be poor. When his feet were anointed with that perfume, remember that? And people were whining and complaining, you know, out of the alabaster box. And people were, we could have, and yeah, Judas, the big phony, said, we could have taken that money and bought food and gave it to the poor. And what he meant was he could have stole more. And what did Jesus say? Hey, the poor you always have with you, but not me. I don't believe in. So even the Lord said, yes, there will always be poor. All right, so going back up, verse 4, save when there shall be no poor. Why? How's that possible? For the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. Only, here's the condition, only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, or strictly obey is another translation. Only if you strictly obey the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee this day. For the Lord thy God blesseth thee. And you'll see that over and over and over again in this particular passage, how God promised to bless them. God promised to bless them. And you know what? God has promised the same thing for us. If we are faithful to him, if we give and serve as he directs us, okay? It's not, in my opinion, the place of the preacher to tell you how much to give. That's between you and the Lord. You are to give cheerfully. You are to give off the top. You are to give the first fruits. These are things that God has said. God said, if you can't give cheerfully, you're not giving with the right attitude. And a lot of what we're going to read here is about attitude. Okay, it's about the attitude of the people of Israel, even in the Old Testament. God wants us to give out of a heart of love and appreciation, not because some preacher stands in a pulpit and says, if you don't give, then God's going to take it by breaking your car down or making your kids sick or whatever, all those silly things that you heard me talk about before. My personal opinion, this is only an opinion, I cannot imagine giving less than what was required in the Old Testament. But of course, if I carry that to the full, that's 23 1/3%. And I'm not quite there, close, but not 23 1/3%. So if you're going to go Old Testament and say, tithing is taught in the Old Testament before the law and you should tithe, well, then we should give 23 1/3. All in favor of that? If we did 23 1/3, everybody did that? We don't have to build the wing because Bill and Betty came up with an awesome idea to get one of those modulars. I think it's a great idea, don't you? Mm-hmm. Which in fall, in October, we're gonna come up with a committee. So if you pray about being on the committee to find out information about used, because I looked online, there's company after company after company after company that sell these used. Many of them were used as classrooms. And you get all different sizes. You get them with bathrooms, you know, fully heated and air conditioned, the whole nine yards. And we're going to have a committee to research that. So pray about that, whether you want to be a part of that. Also, while I'm on the subject of praying about, pray about whether you would like to take a turn. Miss Betty is teaching Sunday school, the itty bitties, but church time, I'd like to see a revolving, maybe 4, 5, or 6 ladies/men, doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman, it just have to be a member of the church, and of course, have to go through to make sure that there's no background issues. Because you got to cover that today. If you don't and something happens, guess who gets sued? Yeah, the church. So we have to make sure, just like all of us that work with Good News Club, we all have to have background checks. And so anyway, if you're interested in getting on that rotating cycle for church time. Right now, because the kids are not used to church, and they're, and one of them especially is very little, it's basically going to be story time. Just tell them stories until they get accustomed to what's going on. Then we'll get material. But anyway, if you'd like to, maybe you could do a sign-up sheet. And anybody that's interested in getting on that rotation to take a turn, this would be church time, okay, for the itty-bitties in the itty-bitty room. Okay? All right. Because also Joshua needs a place as well. So that'll work. That would work out really well. Okay. Where was I? I got off track. Verse number six. Okay, the Lord thy God bless thee as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations. God would so bless them, they would become a financial powerhouse where other nations would look to the Jews for loans. But thou shalt not borrow, there'd be no need for it, and thou shalt reign over many nations. God would bless them in that way as well, but they shall not reign over thee. Sounds like a pretty good deal for obedience, right? That's all that's required is obedience. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates or towns in thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. Moses is appealing to their love for their brother. But thou shalt open thine hand wide. Thou shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need. Remember how the Lord specified what lending really was. When you lend to a brother, it's really, when you lend, you really don't expect it back. If somebody gives it back, that's great, but you give so that you help this brother or sister, and that should be payment enough, because you're giving out of the abundance that God has given you, right? If God blesses us to the point that we have extra money and we can help somebody that really, really needs it, not somebody that wants to prop their feet up on the porch and drink beer while we work, but those that really have needs, then we, of course, God said, how can you shut up the bowels of compassion from those that have need? It's repeated in the New Testament in the first epistle of John. So worth and generosity is what is pointed to here. I'm going to read a passage out of Luke chapter 6 that goes along with this. Luke chapter 6, verses 30 through 34. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of them that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have you? What's the big deal about that? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? What's the big deal about that? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, in other words, get it back, what's the big deal about that? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again, and of course with interest added to it. Now obviously, if two brothers get together and one brother says to the other Christian brother, hey, you know, I got a problem here financially. Is there any way you could lend me $500? And they make an agreement between the two of them. You know, I'm going to pay you back. And I'm not taking it unless you let me pay it back. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to add a little interest. That's different. That's not violating Scripture. But if somebody has a real need and we have the resources and God speaks to our hearts and we give to that individual, we should give. Without expecting it back. Get it back, hallelujah. If not, hallelujah. Either way, okay? All right. You're saying to yourself, man, ain't no way I'm giving any money to anybody then. Oh, yeah. All right. Verse 8 again. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and thou shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth, whatever it may be. Beware that there be not a thought. Remember I said Moses here in Deuteronomy is really focusing on relationships and love. In generosity, beware that there not be a thought in thy wicked heart, or an unworthy thought, another way to translate that, in thy wicked heart saying, notice God does know about our hearts, doesn't he? Yeah. The seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him naught, and cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee, or... when thine eye be evil or look grudgingly on him. Now this verse would want me to lean toward a total forgiveness of debt. Because if you didn't get interest on your debt for that year, yeah, that's not great, but it's not like a big, big deal, is it? But if you don't get any of it, then this verse would make sense, wouldn't it? Because let's say it's the, you know, we're going into the sixth year and somebody comes and says, hey, I need some money. And you think to yourself, the seventh year's coming up here and this debt's going to be forgiven. And come back to me after the Sabbath year and we'll talk. So... that's my opinion in verse 9. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved or grudging when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works. And that was the bottom line. Did the people of Israel have faith enough to believe that God would honor his word, that to the point that there could even be a time when there would be no poor among them if they did everything God outlined? In a lot of our giving or not giving or whatever is based on the same thing, whether we really take God at his word. And I can say after 45 years of knowing the Lord as my Savior, Barbara and I gave faithfully for all of these many years, and there were some lean times. I think a Bible college would be a good example in various ministries. And you know what? We never went hungry. Always had a roof over our heads. We had vehicles to drive. God, now we had to work, okay? Didn't fall from heaven. I don't know of any button we can push where everything just falls from heaven. God said, look, I want you to do your part, and I'll do my part. A lot of Christians are mad at God because they don't think they're being blessed like they should. God has promised to meet our needs, not our greeds. He didn't say, I'm going to make sure you get every toy you ever wanted. Right? And many people have hurt themselves over the years because they've robbed God for year after year after year after year. What do you mean, rob God? You say you don't have to tithe. No, I said that it's between you and God, and you got to be walking with God to know what God wants you to give, and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because there'll be times when he says, I want you to give this or that or the other. We got missions coming up. We got the Old Cox coming up here in September, right? So it's time to pray about that, and we have three of those. They come pretty quickly, bam, bam, bam. And if we're not sensitive to the Spirit of God, we're not going to know what to give, are we? But again, that's between you and the Lord. God said it clearly. If he has our hearts, he has our wallet. It's that simple. It's that simple. Thou shalt, verse 10, surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grudging when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing that the Lord thy God shall bless thee. Oh, how much are you going to bless me, Lord? In all thy works. Everything they put their hand to, God would be in it and blessing it. And in all that thou puttest thine hand unto, that's a promised blessing of God. Then verse 11, this is where we'll close. For the poor shall never cease. Jesus repeated this, Matthew 26:11. And it's because of disobedience. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, and to thy poor, and to thy needy in the land. Questions or comments? All right, let's go over the prayer list.